Okay, so here we go. That is the source sheet. Let's do a little summary of what we covered yesterday very quickly, and then we're going to go on. And the back page of that booklet is this picture. The picture.
That was the
Ikhanat Jafot. Nahor. Hachoshin
Amishpat.
Yeah. So this is called the Hoshin. So we'll discuss it a little bit more in detail as we go on. But that's the picture to get a picture of what we're talking about. So yesterday we started with the Pasuk. Pasuk in this week's Parsha, if you look in the source 1, Otiyot Machkimot. That's what they say. You look at the letters and you'll be able to be even smarter. You'll understand what's going on better. So if you look inside, you'll notice a very interesting thing about this Pasuk. It says, make the Choshen, make. And then it says, and put into the Choshen the Urim and the Tumim. You've heard of this before, the Urim and the Tumim?
Why is it
stones?
Very good. So it's not clear what they are. The Chumash, in fact, never bothers to tell us what it is. It even calls it the Urim and the Tumim, as if you know what it is already. It's not like the Torah says, make the Aron. It doesn't say the Aron, Ha'aron. It says, make an Aron, because I'm about to tell you what it is. But the Urim and Tumim, it says, Ha, with a Hey HaYadiyah, the Urim v'Tumim, as if we already know what it is. That's number one. Number two, we're never told to make it. God never says, make the Urim v'Tumim. All he says is, you know that Urim v'Tumim, remember? Oink, oink, nudge, nudge, know what I mean? Put it into the Choshen. Okay, God, what is it? Never says. So if you look at source number one, it says, V'asisa Choshen Mishpat, V'asisa ala Choshen Shar Shalosh Gavus, V'asisa ala Choshen Shtei Taba Us Zahav. Then it says, V'nasa Aharon Eshemosh B'nei Yisrael, V'choshen HaMishpat. Aaron, the Kohen Gadol, will carry the names of the Jewish people in the Choshen HaMishpat, al libo, on his heart. So number one, Aaron shall carry the names of Bnei Yisrael in his heart, because that's where the Choshen is located. Right, we have a picture of the Kohen Gadol wearing the Choshen, says on his heart, that's where it is. And then it says, V'nosata el Choshen HaMishpat es Urim v'Tumim, and put into that Choshen the Urim v'Tumim, v'hayu alev Aaron, and it'll be on Aaron's heart. Right, we know that already, right? Because it's in the Choshen, the Choshen's on his heart. Again, it's telling us on his heart. Second time we're being told it's on his heart. V'vuela Kodesh, you put in the Urim v'Tumim alev Aaron, v'nosa Aaron es Mishpat v'Nei Yisrael alivo es Nei Hashem Tamid, and Aaron will carry it, again, he'll carry it, where? Alivo, on his heart. Again, when he goes to go visit HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he goes to visit Hashem. So number one, why are we told Aaron's carrying it twice? We know. Tell us once. Aaron's going to carry it on his heart. Okay. That's where it is. You have to know it's on his heart. Fine. Why did it tell us, carry it on his heart. Put the Urim and Tumim, it'll be on his heart. Carry it on his heart. Very strange, right? It's not what we're used to in the Torah. It says in Parshat Noah, what do you call an animal that's not kosher in the times of Noah?
Trefa.
Trefa means it was attacked by another animal and dying.
Late lunch.
So if you look in Parshat Noah, so it says over there, the tohor animals and the tamei. It doesn't exactly say tamei one time. God says, Noah, take the tohor animals and the animals that aren't tohor. The animals that aren't tohor. I mean, you know, God, we don't repeat words, right? We're Jews, are very careful about how much money we spend and the printing press. Every letter costs money. So why are you adding extra words, the animals that aren't tohor? Just say, what? Tame! Much easier, much shorter, much easier, much simpler. What?
Those are all the animals.
Well, he didn't want all the animals. In the ark, he only wanted to have seven of the tohor, of the kosher animals. But only two by two of the non-kosher. So God calls them the ones that are not tohor. So Chazal say, why do you call them not tohor? Call them tamei. In fact, you'll see later on God called them tamei. So why bother calling them the animals that aren't tohor? So many more letters, so many more words. So Chazal say, because God wants you to know, you have to speak it, and I said,
because God has read the Torah, that's why.
Because God has read the Torah, and He's teaching you a lesson. He's teaching you a lesson in one place. That's why it's only one place.
There's some old guy, that's why he had to be so descriptive.
And in this one place, God says, you should know, you need to speak nicely. Instead of saying in a way that's sort of like, not so nice. Tummy. Okay, listen, you have to say it because you have to know what's tummy and what's not. But in one place, God goes out of his way to tell you to speak nicely. And he says, you should say, the animals aren't so. Now, you can't say that everywhere because you have to be halachic. You have to say the truth. You have to be able to be precise. But in one place, he goes out of his way to say that. So that's what we're used to. Every single word, every single letter has to make sense, has to fit in, has to be there for a reason. So suddenly, there's repetition and repetition and repetition. What's being repeated? Number one, Vinasa Aaron, and Aaron should carry it. It's repeated twice.
In the beginning, Vinasa, Aaron. And then it says, on his part. And then it says, Vinasata, abbreviated, Urim Betumim. Again, of course, where is it? It's on his lave. And then it says again, Vinasa Aaron, again, Alibo. So, Vinasa Aaron is repeated twice. Libo is repeated three times. Very strange. So we explained yesterday, the Rashi explains to us what the Urim and the Tumim was, and why it's called a Choshen HaMishpat. What does Mishpat mean? Judgment, right? So mishpat, right? Shoftim, b'shotrim, shofet, mishpat. It's all the same word. So it means judgment. So what's Aaron is a judge? Aaron's a judge? Judges things? No. So what's going on with judgment? So says Rashi, this choshen actually had two rules. Number one, the kohen had to wear it. And if the kohen gadol is not wearing one of his eight garments, his eight begadim, he's chayav mita. Asur la'avod if he doesn't have one of those eight begadim.
Well, he has to wear like all the time.
So wait, if
whatever he's doing avoda.
If some random idiot runs off and pulls his turban off, or the hat off, like...
Okay. Onis rachamana patrei. Onis is onis. If he's ganei kajol, he's ganei kajol, what can you do? But he's not allowed to do the avoda missing one of them. So, okay, so he has to be wearing it. That's number one. It's a very beautiful garment of the kohen. Number two, Rashi says there was this piece of paper that had names of God on it. According to this, it's a shame of 42 letters. And it was put in between the folds of the Choshen, and that was a battery. And the Choshen would then speak. The letters that were engraved on the Choshen, according to you, look at the picture in the back of your packet over there. So you see that there are the letters of all the different Shvatim. And the letters would light up when the Kohen Gadol would ask it a question, and then they would organize themselves into words, and he would know what exactly to do. And we'll discuss that more about Shabbat Hashem today, later. So it had two roles. Number one, it was simply a garment of the Kohen Gadol, and number two, there was mishpat. There was a judgment that this Choshen would make. So we pointed out yesterday, now we can explain at least one thing perhaps. Why does it say, and Aaron shall carry the Choshen, and it'll say, put the Urim to him, and then Aaron will carry the Choshen? Well, because Aaron's really carrying two Choshen. There's two. There's one that's just a garment. It's a big gift. And there's one that's something more. There's one that's a mishpat. So it tells us he should carry it. Then it tells us, put in an Urim Bitumim. Because once the Urim Bitumim, that piece of paper, according to Rashi, is inside the Choshen, then we have to be told to carry it again, because now he's carrying a new Choshen. The question wears two hats, as they say. There are two rules. Then we kept reading Rashi. And we said Rashi goes on to say something very curious. This is in source 4. Rashi says, Hukzav Shem HaMafurash, it was a name of God, an explicit name of God, that was written down. Chayim Nos Nebosuch Kiflei HaChoshem, that Moshe was instructed, V'nasaka, you're supposed to put it into the Choshem. Moshe was told to put it inside the fold of the Choshen, that through it, it would meir devara, that's the Urim. Urim means it would light up. Vitumim, and metameim is devara, and complete its words. So the letters would form into words. Because if you just have letters, you don't know how to organize them. We mentioned yesterday by who?
By Eliakoin.
Eliakoin, and who was coming on? What was the story?
And he thought she was drunk because, I forget the exact letter.
Because Chana came, and she was davening, but her lips were moving, but you couldn't hear what she was saying.
Right.
And so Eli looked to the Choshen, and the Choshen said the letters.
Why did he consult the Choshen? Like, and you do that.
This is according to the Vilna Gaon. That's what he said. So he said Shin Kaf Resh Hey. So he read that as. What does it say?
Drunk.
And that was a problem because he really the Tumim. He didn't properly have the Kavanah for the name of God of Tumim because it was supposed to organize itself. The letters were supposed to be reversed to spell.
Kasharah.
Okay, two possibilities. But either way, bottom line, meaning that she wasn't obviously drunk, she wasn't doing anything wrong, but rather that she was doing what was appropriate. Kisara, she couldn't have children. That's even better. So, that's Urim, that it's light up the letters. That's one name of God that the Kohen Gadol needed to think about in order to make them light up. And the second name of God was Metamein Estivera, that it would complete the letters, it would organize them into words properly. Then Rashi goes on a tangent. Uva Mikdasheni Haya HaChoshen. And in the second temple, says Rashi, they had the Choshen. Didn't you know? Didn't you know they had the Choshen? Did someone say they didn't? It's bothering Rashi. It's impossible for the high priest to be lacking one of his begadim, right? You'd be have misa. But also Hashem lohaya b'socho. That name of God was not inside the choshen. Hashem also aksav u'kori mishpat, and it's exactly because of that ksav, that piece of paper, that name of God, that it was called mishpat, judgment. They asked the urim b'tumim, they asked the choshen. The judgment, and it says the Mishpat HaUrim. So that's Rashi's proof that it's called the Choshen HaMishpat because of the fact that it spoke, because it earned it to me. So what's bothering Rashi over here? That's what we asked yesterday, right? Rashi doesn't usually go on too many tangents. This has nothing to do with the explanation of the Pasuk. So what's Rashi doing? So we saw Gemara. The Gemara actually says exactly what was on Rashi's mind. Amar Shmuel, Bar'inim Adichsiv, Eretz Abov Ishabda. The pasuk about the second temple in Haggai says that God is going to desire the second temple and he's going to put his honor there, his glory there. But the word is spelled Achaved, without a hay. Without a hay. Why is it spelled without a hay?
Because there were five things that
were missing from the second temple. The Elu Hain, and we counted all eight yesterday. All eight of the five things. All eight of the five things.
Yes,
everybody's asleep.
No, we're not asleep. Three of them were
proven.
Yeah, the Aaron and Kruvim.
Aaron, Kaporeth, and Kruvim are considered one. Then Eish, Shechina, Ruach HaKodesh, and finally Urim, the two men. Those are the five things they did not have in the second temple. The Aaron, the special fire, the Shechina, with a certain presence of Hashem, Ruach HaKodesh, they didn't have, and Urim, the two men, they didn't have. So Rashi and Akamara says, what does it mean they didn't have Urim V'Tumim? Rashi says, it means they didn't have what? They didn't have the Choshen?
Yeah.
The batteries.
No. Nahon, they didn't have the batteries. They didn't have the Urim V'Tumim, which means the piece of paper that goes inside the folds of the Choshen. The Choshen they had! But that piece of paper, that the name of God, that they didn't have in the times of the second temple.
Oh, So
apparently, it wouldn't light up. It wouldn't respond if you ask it a question. But the physical Choshen they still had.
Why
did they have it? So Rashi says, if they didn't have it, what would be a problem? No. So what if they didn't have it? But what would they have in Halakha? Halakha, let's say that they didn't have it. They didn't have the Choshen in the second temple. So what would be the problem with the Kohen Gadol?
He couldn't do the
Nachon, he'd be chayav what?
Misa.
Right, you'd be chayav death, the death penalty for that. Not allowed to do the avodah unless it's all. So they had to make it, of course, because it's one of the eight garments of the Kohen Gadol. But it didn't respond. It didn't light up. So Tosfos writes. So that's Rashi's try, right? Rashi's like, didn't have what?
No.
Which is what?
Good.
Tosfos says, Urim v'tumim, havu. They had the Urim v'tumim. Tosfos says they had it. Shimon Lokain, because if they didn't have it, Haya kohen gadol mechusar begadrim. The kohen gadol would be lacking one of his eight garments. Ela lo hayu meishivin minishalin bohem. It wouldn't respond if you asked it a question. It stopped working, says Tosfos. But they had it. Because otherwise, he would be missing what?
Well, what's your point about it's one of the eight garments, but it's like wearing, I don't know, it doesn't...
Yeah, we'll get to your question in one second. But let's just understand what Tosu says before we ask your question. So there's a machloket now. There's machloket, Rashi and Tosu. According to Rashi, why is Rashi stressing this so much on Chumash? Why does he care so much to tell us? You didn't find it the second temple, you should know that they definitely had the choshen, just they didn't have what then? The Urim and Tumim. They didn't have the piece of paper, but they definitely had the physical choshen. Because otherwise, the Kohen would have been what Rashi calls mechusar begadim, lacking in his clothing. And Tosfos says, they had to have the piece of paper. Otherwise, he also would have been Mochisar Begadim. So what's the dispute between Rashi and Tosfos, Charlie? What are they arguing about?
They're arguing if it was spiritual or not.
They're arguing over if the Urim V'Tumim was part of the clothing of the Kohen Gadol, right?
I have no idea what you guys are talking about still.
Can you see the picture?
Yeah, I know.
Okay. Rashi claims that there was an Urim V'Tumim. What that means, according to Rashi, is a piece of paper that had names of God on it, that the Kohen Gadol needed to think about.
Oh, yeah.
And when he would focus on those names, the letters on that Choshen would light up. And then when he would focus... The Kohen Gadol wore on his chest.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, so that's a Kohen Gadol.
This is
the first time I hear it. I knew it was like a... something with diamonds.
Okay. All sorts of jewels, all different kinds of jewels.
Okay.
So the Urim V'Tumim went inside it, and it was sewn up, so it was always there, at least while they had that one. And then it would answer the Kohen Gadol's questions, and he would ask it, if he would focus and have the proper kavanot. Fine. So according to Rashi, when the Gemara says that they didn't have Urim V'Tumim in the Second Temple, so Rashi says, I mean, they didn't have a piece of paper, but they definitely had the breastplate, the choshen they had. Otherwise, the Kohen Gadol would not be able to do any of the service.
There was one on paper and one in diamonds.
There was a Choshen, which is the physical breastplate.
Okay.
The Urim V'Tumim just means the piece of paper, the batteries that go inside.
So each diamond had like a compartment and you could put like...
No, one piece of paper that goes inside. One piece of paper. Look at the picture.
One piece of paper.
Just that piece of paper that has the names of God and goes right inside. That's it.
Like that.
Just like that. And it puts inside. That's what Rashi seems to say. So Tosfos disagrees with Rashi and says, they must have had the Urim V'Tumim, that piece of paper, they must have had it also in the Second Temple. Because otherwise the Kohen Gadol also would have been lacking one of his garments.
But the Pasuk says that they didn't have it? Well, I don't get it.
Gemara says they didn't have it.
They didn't have it, alright.
They didn't have Urim V'Tumim. So Tosfos says they had it. All the Gemara means is that it didn't work. If you would ask the Choshen a question, nothing would light up. It would work.
The second one.
In the Second Temple time.
And the First Temple it worked.
First Temple it worked. So what are they arguing about?
It's part of the garment.
Right. If this piece of paper is part of the garments of the Kohen Gadol, or if it's there as a battery.
I don't get it. I still don't.
You don't understand?
No. So if it's a... I don't get it. Like,
Rashi insists.
Okay.
That they had a choshen. The choshen means that the physical breast.
Yeah.
And Rashi says, but when the Gemara says they didn't have Urim V'Tumim, it doesn't mean they didn't have the choshen, right? The second temple. All it means
but
is that
they didn't have the choshen. They said they didn't have the paper.
Correct. So Rashi, you're saying Rashi's not making a chidush.
Alright.
So Tosafot says they must have had the paper too. Gemara says they didn't. Tosafot says they must have. We have to reinterpret the Gemara. The Gemara means it didn't work. Did they not have the Aron, says Tosfos, in the Second Temple? So Charlie's going to tell me, no, they didn't have it. It wasn't in the Kodesh HaKadosh. But we know it was buried in the Sutton Tunnel underground. It was there, but it wasn't in its best place. So she says, the whole list is like that. It doesn't mean they didn't have Urim V'Tumim. They had it, but it wasn't working properly.
That means it was in another place? That's what it means?
No, it means it was there.
So what,
the iron was in a different place.
So what's the garments then? What does that have to do with the garments? I don't understand how like, you connect the garments with...
Wait, relax. Let me explain. Don't get nervous.
I'm not nervous.
Okay.
I'm nervous about my thinking stuff in 2 hours.
Okay. Well, maybe we stop thinking about the for a minute and focus on the forget. Ready? Why do you think Tosus insists that they had to have the Urim and Thummim in the second year? Because he argues, he explains himself, right? He says, because otherwise, the Kohen Gadol could not do his Avodah. Because he would be lacking one of his eight garments. That's what Tosus writes. Rashi says, that's not true. A Kohen Gadol that doesn't have Urim and Thummim can do the Avodah. Because the Urim and Thummim is not one of the eight garments. So what are they arguing about?
So they're arguing if they're in the domain with part of the government.
Simple.
Yes.
That's all. So
it would be like parched on the garment, or it would be like worn, or how would...
Since God instructed that the Urim and Thummim be put into the Choshen, Tosus seems to be understanding that it's part of the Choshen. Part of it. In the physical garment.
So it should be already inside or something.
Yeah. Has to be inside.
Why wouldn't it light up?
Why wouldn't it not light up?
Yeah.
I don't know. At that time, maybe it had to do with practicing depleting. Tosus doesn't explain why it didn't light up. But at that point, it didn't anymore. Perhaps we can explain it, but let's not go into too many tangents for now.
Right.
So the Yaik, Yaakov Emden, so he is bothered by this Tosus. And he says, how could you possibly say that a battery is part of the clothes? And more than that, he says, I'll prove to you that it's not one of the clothes. Does it ever say, make it? Does the Torah ever say, make the Urim V'Tumim?
No.
No.
But without that, it's not going to work.
Okay, it won't work. That's true. But since God never said, make it, how could it possibly be one of the Kohen Gadol clothes that you have to make?
Why wouldn't come just the garments and see it?
Again?
Why wouldn't count the old garments, the garment, and see if the Urim V'Tumim is part of them?
Well, because that would be number 9. You're right. It would be number 9. But the way that you could understand that is that even though numerically it comes out to be a 9th garment, it's not a separate garment. It's part of the Choshen. Because it needs to be put aside and sewn up in it. So it's part of the Choshen. So it's part of the 8th garment. Just like, the stones. You can pop off a stone. Oh, so is that a problem? Is that a problem? Of course it's a problem. Because the Choshen will be missing a stone. So the Yaakov says, can't possibly be.
They had to have lost stones occasionally.
He replaced them.
They mentioned that they would go out sometimes and buy stones for the second.
That's the time, we'll get to that tomorrow. That's the time of the second temple. So, that's what the Yaakov asked on Tosos. This is basically what we finished off yesterday. Today we're going to see this exact machlokas reflected in other Rishonim, right? You know the period of the Rishonim, right? The Rishonim was a period that came after the Gaonim. First you had the completion of the Gemara. After the completion of the Gemara were the Gaonim. After the Gaonim were what we call the Rishonim. Rashi was on the very early Rishonim. The Rambam and the Ravid seem to have exactly the same dispute. If you look at source 8 on the source sheet, this is the Mishnah Torah of the Rambam, and Allah has a base habachira, the law of the temple. So the Rambam writes, you should know that there was a stone on the floor of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and that was where the Aron was placed. And there was the container of mun that was put there, and the staff of Aaron that sprouted almonds. We learned about it last semester in Bar Midbar. And at the time that Shlomo HaMelech built the first temple, he knew that eventually would be destroyed. And he built a place to hide the Aron underneath the temple in all sorts of deep, twisty, curvy tunnels, channels underneath the temple. And Yoshiyahu HaMelech commanded them to put the Aron down there. And he quotes the Pasuk that says that. And included with the Aron was this. Included with the Aron was the staff of Aron and the container of Mun. And the Shemen, HaMishcha, the anointing oil, and all these things never returned in the Second Temple time. They remained hidden. Says the Rambam, obviously, where's the Rambam coming from? Why is he mentioning all these things? These things didn't return in the Second Temple. He's referencing the Gemara that we were discussing, right? The 5 things they didn't have in the times of the Second Temple. So what do you think he's going to refer to next? What else is on the list that we're talking about, the whole series about? Nachon. The Urim V'Tumim. So the Rambam writes. And even the Urim V'Tumim that they had in the second temple, you hear that? That they had in the second temple, Lo Hayu Mishivin would not, what? Respond. Beruach HaKodesh. Right? Just like who? Not like Rashi, but like Tosfos that we saw. Nachon. Lo Hayu Mishomin Bohen, they wouldn't even ask it questions. Shneimar Ad Amod Kohen Urim B'Tumim V'Raya Osin Osan. So why did they bother making it? Maybe that was your question originally. Why did they bother making it? What do you think the Rambam was going
to
say?
To
complete the Shmona Begadim, to complete eight garments of the Kohen Gadol, Kadesh Lehem of the Kohen. So according to the Rambam, again, the Rambam is insisting it's part of the garments, right? What do you think the Rambam would ask the Rambam?
If you were the Rabbi, what would you say?
If it's part of the garments, then...
Right, so all the arguments that
It doesn't say make the choshen, because when it says make the choshen, then you know for the tradition that you have to make the olivet oil.
Yeah, I hear your argument. You can argue that. Just because. You're arguing against what we said before, the name of the Agnes. Just because it says, never says make it, but it says put it in. Once you have to put it in, so it becomes part of the garment. How do you know that? That's what you're saying, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. But nonetheless, the Ravid doesn't think so. And the Ravid is right. Very simple. But it's not considered one of the eight garments. So you have this machlokes repeated in two different places.
Did they know about each other's... Did the Ravid Rambam know about Rashi?
Yeah, the assumption is that they would know about it.
And why would they have the same argument? Why not just refer to...
Well, because the Rambam would never do that. The Rambam, when he wrote his sefer, was just telling you the halacha. So he doesn't refer to where he even got things from. And he just says, that's the halacha. So the Ravid disagrees and says, it's not considered mecheshbon ha-begadim. It's not one of the begadim. So the question is, how do you explain to us, I think, if you understand the way Rashi was presenting, the Urim and Thummim, see the paper that goes in, I think it's pretty straightforward that unless you say what Charlie was suggesting, that it becomes part of the garment, because, well, okay, you put it in. You never told them to make it, but once it's there, it's part of the garment.
No, I'm saying that when they ordered B'nai Israel to make it, or whoever has to make it, to make it, it's already implied that it already has to have an Orim Betonim. That's what I'm saying. The making of it is like saying, making an MP3 player, without, like, you already know that it has to have a flash drive inside. Making an MP3 player without any memory, then it's the same thing.
Okay.
Or making an iPod without the battery inside.
Right. But the straightforward svara, what you would think, is that this is basically a battery. And it's not necessarily, at least, part of the garment. So how could you be so sure? How could you be so sure that it's part of the garment? How could you be so sure? You could definitely argue the opposite easily, right? You're trying to defend that position. But what's the most straightforward position? What's the easiest position? Probably that it's not part of the garment. Right? No. It's a battery. It activates it.
Just anyone can fix with
the
other one.
How
this one can fix with this one.
So here's my question. Like, why, if it needs the other thing to work, then what's the purpose of having the first thing without having the other thing?
Good question. We'll get to it. In other words, was that... Well, let me just throw a question in your way, and we'll get back to this. The question is, so let's say it doesn't respond when you ask a question. So what? Okay, in terms of the Melech, the king of the Jews, knowing what God wants from him, well, that's a big deal. But in terms of a Kohen, doing his service in the temple every day, does it make a difference?
No, but that's a privilege.
Wait, but just think about it for a minute, right? Does it make a difference? Does this have anything to do with the Kohen Gadol serving in the temple? Dan, what do you think? If it doesn't answer, does that affect the Kohen Gadol everyday job?
Yeah.
How?
Well, you can't, do his props with them.
Okay, but he doesn't do it every day. That's not part of the service in the temple, right?
Well,
but it's still, it just doesn't work anymore.
Okay, it doesn't work, fine. But does it affect his service in temple? Yeah,
overall,
it seems to be pretty much not. Sorry.
Isn't it kind of primary objective of it to just serve? That's like the primary objective of it. But like the lighting was like God's little gift, like, you know, the included thing, you know, something that. But the primary thing is it's better, like it's not. You cannot, like, the primary thing is just to serve Hashem, right? Through that thing, but, like, with part of the clothes. So you can't serve Hashem without them both together. So if they're both not together, then the first one would be rendered useless.
Well, that's the question.
So
that's exactly the question. Is it really useless or not? If it's not there, what's the big deal?
It has a function.
It has a function. In addition. What other function does it have?
Only serve. It's only.
So that's what Tosfos seems to be saying. It's part of the clothes.
Maybe it's two, because he will know every time he's doing the Avodah, he knows that if he has a memo of Hashem inside, like it will, I don't know, it will.
You want to say that maybe it affects him. It's sort of like, you know, wearing a suit versus wearing, like, you know, jeans and stuff. You know, it gives you a different attitude, i.e., you know, how you view yourself or something like that. Maybe. But the Kedef Mishnah, which is Yosef Karo. Who's our Yosef Karo? What did he write? What's his famous? What do we call him? It's another word for it. Everybody has another name that we give him. Nachron. The Gam Kim Ham Mechaber. Right? The Mechaber. He wrote the Shulchan Aruch.
What does Mechaber mean?
It means composer. But a fun. Okay, so the Kedef Mishnah was so convinced that the Urim V'Tumim was a battery. And he says it can't be that the Rambam understood the Urim V'Tumim to mean that and then insist that it's one of the clothes. Can't be. So look at what he says. This is in verse 12. It's not here in fact.
So he insisted the battery, but he insisted...
If it's a paper, it's got to be a battery.
All right.
But so then how did the Rambam possibly say that the only reason they made it is so that the Kohen Gadol would not be lacking his clothes? What does the Rambam mean? Listen to what he says. In the Second Temple, he relates to this Machlokes in Rambam in the Ravid, and he says like this, V'Raveinu, the Rambam, Korei Po Urim V'Tumim L'Choshen V'Derech Hasha'ala. The Rambam means, you know what the Urim V'Tumim was? It's L'Choshen. L'Choshen and Urim V'Tumim are the same thing. You'll notice if you go to the Rambam never ever mentions a parchment, a piece of paper with names of God on it that you put in, never ever mentions it. Never. So the Kesef Mishnah thinks what the Rambam means is the Nechushan, that's two names. Nechushan, two names. If the Kohen Gadol is just wearing it, you're not asking it any questions, it's called a Nechushan. If you want to ask it a question, it's called the Urim V'Tumim. Two names. So when the Rambam says it didn't work, yeah, it didn't work, but it's the same thing. According to the Kesef Mishnah, the Rambam didn't believe that there was this piece of paper with the name of God that goes into the Nechushan. Because if that was true, there's no way to say, for the Kesef Mishnah, that that's considered one of the garments of the Kohen Gadol. So insists the Yosef Karo. You hear that? Very interesting. So in other words, there were two roles of the Choshen. That's how we started. V'nasa Aron Aliva, he's carrying the Choshen on his heart. He put in, according to Rashi, the Urim V'Tumim. This pasuk, I don't know how the Rambam would learn according to the Kesef Mishnah. That can be your homework. It says in the pasuk, you must tata urim tumim into the ocean. So how does Rambam read that? You come with a good answer. I'll love you for it. Well, I don't understand how Rambam, according to Kesef Mishnah, I don't understand how Rambam read that. Put the urim tumim into the ocean? What is it? It's a spiritual thing. You're putting this power into it. What is it supposed to mean? That's the question. I don't understand that. And then again, the nuts are, he's carrying it on his heart. So one thing for sure, the two carryings of Aaron are because the Choshen, according to everyone, has two roles. It, one role is as a garment, and one role is as something that responds. You know, in English they call it an oracle. An oracle, something that responds to you, and it can ask you a question. So here's number 13. So let's discuss a little bit, what exactly is this role? What is this role of the Choshen, the Urim V'Tumim? So this is from the Ritva. The Ritva is one of the Rishonim. Hagam in Urim, Shneirim Divrayim, Tumim, Shemashlim Divrayim. What was this idea? What exactly was going on over here? So he quotes Rashi, that we explained already, it's this piece of paper that had the names of God on it, and he explains that the Kohen Gadol would have to focus, would have to have Kavanah for these names in order to properly understand what the message was. Let me explain that already. V'yesh machlokes ben ha-mefarshim zal, ketzed hayo ha-osios k'suvos v'shtei avanei shohem. If you guys turn to that page, the last page of the packet, you'll see that there are three pictures of the Koshen here. Take a look.
You mean you printed a card for everyone?
Well, I think we're missing one for you. You should see how much I love you that I bothered at home to print out in color for every one of you.
No,
it's wrong. Machina printer. No, personal printer. Here you go. Machina has a Xerox, you know, a copy machine that prints in black and white. I wanted to be in color so you could see it. So here we go. If you look on the right side of the page, there's the top and the bottom. Yeah, sorry, come look. You'll notice that there are two versions. There's something extra that's being added over here. Do you guys see what I'm saying? Look at the first stone that says in big letters Reuven.
Yeah.
What else does it say on that stone?
Abraham,
yeah.
Yaakov,
right?
Reuven.
And on the last stone, what else does it say? That's under Binyamin.
Moshe.
Shivtei Ka, which means the Shvatim of Hashem, right? Now, that's according to the Rambam. The Rambam says you had to add all those other letters. Well, for what purpose? Because you needed to have the entire Aleph. He mentioned this yesterday. You guys
this is the Rambam.
That's the Rambam.
So what? How would he come to this true logic?
That's why it says Abraham for every word.
That's why it says Abraham Yitzchak Yaakov and Shifteka, so that you would be able to have every letter of the entire Aleph.
So how would you compare?
Right, we mentioned this yesterday. One second. Remember, you guys asked me. So what's the point? What do you need it all for? So the answer is because you need every letter for what aspect?
Every letter in the whole thing.
Every letter of the Aleph.
And not in its part.
Okay, we'll get to that one second. But according to the Rambam, Abraham Yitzchak Yaakov is on the first stone, and on the last stone was Shifteka. That's the opinion of the Rambam. That way you have all the letters of the Aleph Beis. Now, why do you need all the letters of the Aleph Beis? Is that a halakha in the garment?
The answer to you, you need all the letters.
Why?
Because maybe an answer and a letter.
For the answering part of the Koshen, right? But remember that the Koshen has two roles. There is the garment role and the mishpat role. So is this part of mishpat or part of beged?
Both.
Both?
Also, mishpat and beged.
What do you need it for beged for?
Why? They only make men.
But if it's a beged, all you need is all the names of the shvatim. You don't need all the aleph beis. You don't need the entire aleph
beis. Why are you recording us twice?
That's why I'm telling you, it's both.
Okay, you should argue it's both. But the simplest way to understand it would be that it's because of mishpat.
So the Rambam came.
I need the names of the shvatim because that's what Aaron's supposed to be carrying as part of the garment. The entire Aleph Bet, he only needs, if he needs to ask it a question. Mm-hmm. You hear what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Fine.
How does the Rambam
There's another version of it.
How does the Rambam come to this?
There's different understandings of it, based on, I don't know.
Kabbalah, maybe?
Maybe? Good question. That's based on Gemara, based on Midrashim. The second version of it was that they were broken up so that there was the same amount of letters on each stone. So if you'll notice, if you look at the second picture on the bottom, you'll notice there's Reuven Aleph, Shimon Beis, Levi, Reish Hemen.
No.
Why is that? Because it's spelled Abraham. But on each stone was an equal amount of letters. And that's another opinion. So you had various opinions exactly how this worked, how all the letters were divided up on the stones. But however it was, this way you completed all of the letters of the Aleph Beis. And we're suggesting that the reason you needed that was not because this was part of the garment. This is not what they say, a halacha in the garment.
I think if it was part of the beged,
yeah.
What's
the difference? Let's put it like this.
I think it's part of the beged, because if not, if it was just mishpa for the answers, they would just put words, but they created them like Abraham, Isaiah, Yaakov. If not, they would just put like another letter there and They're creating the word Abraham.
It's because the beggar had to have the names of the Shevatim. As a beggar.
That's why, but you understand what I'm trying to say? No, that's why I think it's also part of the beggar.
Why?
Also part of the...
Why do you need the Aleph Bet for the beggar?
Because of the Mishpat.
Yeah.
Yeah, but if it wasn't for the... Wait, let me think. Why they just not put the word, the letters that are missing, and then you have to put Abraham sign and go?
Okay, that's a good question. I don't know. That's a good question. I don't have the answer for this.
So that's why I think it's also part of Bennett.
Uh-huh. Okay, I hear that. So what if you didn't have those names? What if it didn't say? What if they forgot? And they left off Abraham, Yitzhak, Yaakov, and Yishuv, God. What if it wasn't there? So that's the difference, right? Because if it's part of Mishpat, so just like if you don't have the Urim V'Tumim, then it's not a problem for the Kohen Gadol to serve in that. So if the letters, the extra letters, are also only part of Mishpat, then if they're not there, it's also not a problem. You guys hear what I'm saying right now? You know what I'm saying? Let's say you didn't have, we said according to everybody, if the Urim V'Tumim isn't there, or doesn't respond, so is the Kohen Gadol allowed to do his service in the temple?
Yeah.
Because he's not considered lacking his clothes if he doesn't have the battery, or if it doesn't respond. So what if you don't have the extra letters?
That's having the paper in it, it's an extra,
right?
Like an extra
thing. And what about the extra letters? Not talking about extra letters. Let's say they forgot to write them. They left them off. Is that a problem of the in the Choshen, or is that a problem of Mishpat? Al, you know what I'm asking? Is that like the piece of paper?
If we're saying now that all of these don't make a difference, then why should these few extra letters make a difference?
Because those letters were only there to complete the Aleph Beis. So it sounds like the only reason they're there is for the role of the response of the Hoshen, but not as part of the Beged itself.
Oh, so after... Maybe before it was they were like this, and after the word was like this, maybe, or no? Without all the other letters?
No, they had the other letters. The question is, if they didn't, let's say they didn't, for whatever reason, mm-hmm. So would the Kohen Gadol still be able to do it Avodah, or he would be Chayav Mita?
Chayav Mita.
Some argue no. Says the Mishnah Shechina, because those letters are only there to make it an Urim V'Tumim. They're not there because of the Choshen. It's there to make it Urim V'Tumim.
It's a combination.
You hear?
It's like
a piece of paper. It's only there for the Aleph Beis. It's not there as part of the actual garment itself. So that's an interesting halacha that we went out from here, if that's true. You want to argue maybe that's not true, right? Right?
No.
So you have to think about that.
So we don't feel the...
According to that, if you say it like that...
Which one do we follow?
Well, so far we don't follow anything because we don't have a coin metal right now. But when we have one, you'll have to. We'll probably do it right anyway.
There are also other
we'll make it properly.
No, they have also laws for like Yovel and Shemitah, like from the. Feel like we don't do them, but like we say that we follow the idea of peace.
Yeah, you have to. These kinds of things you have to have what's called Paschim Vidyevit. If such a thing happened, so then what do you do? But obviously, what's called the Chatzilah. From the outset, if you're going to make the Choshen, you make it right. You make it with all the letters, you know, in the proper way.
The colors of the stones that you have on the paper, I mean, are supposed to start with the actual stones?
That's still one opinion about what they were. We have different traditions, what exactly the stones were. One was a ruby, so you can assume that it was red, you know, maybe one was a diamond. So, you know, you can work out more or less a lot of them. But this is...
Wait, they weren't all the same stones?
No, they were definitely not. They each were different and reflected off of the flag of each Shevet, the same colors. They're each different stones.
And this plate, this flat plate, it doesn't look like it's golden from the printout.
Well, it was woven of different strands. So some of the stones fit in, I think, to a gold piece, but the whole thing itself is different. Different things woven together.
I thought the whole
thing. Here, if you check it out here. Golden. In this picture over here, I think it has here. In the picture. so you can see the way it was woven, it has the different strands, different colors that were put together to make the general breastplate. So here's where we're going to bring everything together. This is where it gets exciting. Up until now, we've discussed what's the status of these quote-unquote Urim V'Tumim. And we said, according to Rashi, it's a piece of paper. Because the Mishnah suggests, according to the Rambam, there wasn't a piece of paper at all. It was just another name for what? The Choshen itself. So if you're going to ask it a question, you ask it a question. The Urim V'Tumim. If you're just wearing it, it's just called the Choshen. But it's the same thing. So that could be the explanation of Tosfos too. We suggested the Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos when if the piece of paper is considered part of the garment. You could say no. Maybe Tosfos learned like the Kesef Mishnah learning the Rambam. Maybe Tosfos really learned that there's no piece of paper. It's just another name for the Choshen. In which case they're not arguing over whether the piece of paper, the battery, quote unquote, is part of the garments or not. They're arguing over what? Whether you have to make the Choshen. Simple. Of course you do. Of course you do. And that's all that the Rambam and that's all that Tosfos are saying. You hear what I'm saying now?
Yeah.
Yeah? Alex, you hear what I'm saying?
Kind of.
There are two ways to understand the dispute that we mentioned. The way we mentioned the dispute, Rashi and Tosfos until now, was whether or not that piece of paper was a garment.
Yeah,
or not.
I understand.
Because the Mishnah claims that there's no way you could ever say that that piece of paper is a garment.
What is the name of this life?
The Kesef Mishnah.
Oh, yeah.
Yosef Karo is his name. Yosef Karo is the Shulchan Aruch. This is the commentary on the Rambam. It's called the Kesef Mishnah. That's really the name of his Pirush on the Rambam.
Okay. So
he says there's no way to say that a piece of paper, a battery, is a garment. No way.
Yeah.
So how do you understand Rambam? How do you understand Tosfos? Who said they had to have the Urim V'Tumim in this time for the second temple. Otherwise, the Kohen Gadol would have been lacking his garments. It's the same thing. It's another name for the Choshen. So I'm just pointing out that you could say Tosfos learned the same way. So when Tosfos reads the Gemara and says they had to have the Urim V'Tumim in the second temple, what do you mean, Gemara? Of course they had the Urim V'Tumim. What's bothering Tosfos? Could be what's bothering him is that is the Choshen. The Urim V'Tumim is the Choshen. There's no other object called a piece of paper as Urim V'Tumim. If Tosfos learns like that, then they're simply arguing over what is the Urim V'Tumim. But everyone agrees that if you don't have an Urim V'Tumim, if the Choshen doesn't respond to you, doesn't talk to you, the Kohen Gadol can 100% go ahead and do what? His everyday Avodah, no problem with it. So what do you see from all this? This is what we're up to now. Now we're going to tie everything together, you're going to love it. What do we see from all this? In Halacha, we see there are two roles of the Choshen. As a Beged, and as what? What else can we call it? As mishpat. I would like to use a different word for this now. It's also an aspect of what? This is a certain type of, what would we call this mishpat? We could call it an aspect of nivuah, of prophecy. Correct? Speaking to God and getting a response. It's even better than prophecy, because you're guaranteed a response when it's working. When it's working.
Why are you... What?
You can ask a question and get a response. But a prophet has to sit down, go into a trance, and wait for God to talk to him.
It never happened that they asked a question, just nothing lit up. And
if the Kohen Gadol has a proper cover note, and it's a person that's appropriate to ask a question...
context then, Kibana, I thought he gets enough in the
No, he's appropriate. But if God doesn't speak, then God doesn't speak to him. And I'll tell you something else that's crazy. The Choshen, if it says something, guaranteed to happen. Must happen. But in Navi, if you get the prophecy that something bad is going to happen, there's Teshuva.
Oh, why does he,
if a Navi gets a Nevuah, gets a prophecy from God, and God says the Jews are going to be punished, terrible things are going to happen, so is that guaranteed to happen?
A lot of Nevuahs that were conditioned.
No. Because Yisrael can do what?
I mean,
Teshuva. What? The Choshen? If the Choshen, if they ask the Choshen, what do you ask the Choshen? You have to figure out what do you ask the Choshen. The Choshen is supposed to ask, are we going to be successful? If we go to war, are we going to win? And if the Choshen says, don't go, you will not win, you will not win. And you can do tshuva day till tomorrow, you can do whatever you want. You will not win.
If Jewish people are going to be punished because of this, and the response is yes, you can do tshuva,
So that's not the type of question you ask the Choshen now. You ask the Choshen, should we do this, should we do that? That's what's interesting. Let me ask certain questions to the Choshen. Yeah, Charlie.
But is it that, like, after you said that
they didn't ask it in the second temple?
Because it didn't work.
Maybe they weren't ready. Maybe they...
Yeah. Okay, you, back to this question that Akhorn will get into. What exactly, when can you ask and can't you ask if it's appropriate? Let's put it on hold for now. Let's just finish off this topic. Let's go over our questions from the beginning. I want to wrap it all up together. You'll see a beautiful big picture that comes out of this after we see this last question. Number one, why is Vinasa Aharon repeated? We addressed that. There are two roles of the function. Number two, why is the phrase Alev, Alevo, Alev Aharon said three times? We have no idea. Right? No idea yet. That's number two. We addressed why we're not told to make the Urim V'Tumim, because it's not one of the Begadim of the Kohen. It's something that you put inside. What is the Urim V'Tumim? So that we discussed already. That's a machlokas, perhaps, Rashi, Tosis, and Rama. And what does it mean that he will carry the names of the Yisrael? So that's the Kohen Gadol, is carrying the names, because the names are engraved on it. And we pointed out there are extra names added, extra letters added on, to complete the Aleph. Now, what's this idea, Alev Aharon? Alev Aharon in his heart, in his heart, in his heart, in his heart, in his heart. Okay, God, it's on his heart. Give me a break. Why do you have to tell me three times? Do you want to look inside? Check this out, verse 15. This is a Drasha Haran. The Ran was a Rishon, a late Rishon. He says something fascinating. God spoke to Moses and told Moses, take Bnei Israel out of Mitzrayim. Now, Moses didn't want to be the one to take this job, right? Who did Moses think should really have this job?
Aaron.
Why?
Because your older brother was the older one.
And he also was what?
The Kavite.
Okay, Moshe was the Kavite. But Aaron was the number one prophet at the time. He was the leader of the Jewish people in Mitzrayim. He was the number one guy around. And here comes, like Raji said, little brother. And little brother's going to come and be the prophet to take Bnei Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, to do the tremendous miracles that are going to happen, and wow, he's going to become Moses. Wow! Like he's the one. So Moshe thought, Aaron should be the one to take this role, right? Not me. So what does God respond to him? God responds to him, V'ra'acha v'samach v'libo. He will see you, because Aaron's going to know why you're coming back, because the prophet knows what's going on by the other prophet. So Aaron's going to see you. He knows why you're coming back to Mitzrayim. He's going to see you at Vera. V'samach
v'libo.
What does that mean, v'samach v'libo? What?
You'll be happy to
say. So what does that mean, v'samach v'libo? That quite literally, he's going to be happy for you. Now, last time that something happened to somebody else that was really good, were you happy for him? Maybe a little bit jealous. Maybe a little bit, you know, like, why didn't that happen to me? A lot of times it's hard to be happy for someone else. You know what I'm saying, right? Well, it's very hard sometimes. Especially someone you want to. But God says, don't you think for a second that Aaron is going to feel jealous. He's going to feel like, why didn't that happen to me? Not for a second. The Ruacha, the Shamach, the Libo. He's going to feel happy in his heart. That means a real sincere happiness for you, that you were able to merit this tremendous job. That's something special, right? It's not something that an average person could probably accomplish. But Aaron could accomplish it. Sincerely happy for someone else's success.
But why three times?
Well,
we should have known.
So why? So there's a chazal on this. Because Aaron was happy in his heart, he merited something. Says the Medrash, Zacha l'choshen al libo. He merited the choshen on his heart. Says the Ran, wait a second. Because he was happy for Moses, he merited the choshen on his heart?
Yeah.
Last time I checked, if the choshen's not attached to the apron, the apron falls off. The choshen is one of the eight garments of the Kohen Gadol. What do you mean he merited the choshen? He wouldn't have had the choshen were it not for this episode? Says the Ran, no. Says the Ran, that's not the check. That's not the check. I'll tell you what it means. It means he merited the Urim between them. He never would have had the Urim between them. Like we pointed out, as Dan Davidson said, you don't need the Urim V'Tumim to be a successful Kohen Gadol. That's not part of his Avodah. You don't need it. What's it even doing there? Is prophecy part of priesthood?
No.
That's the title, if you look at the fancy title, of prophecy and priest, understanding the Chesed
Mishpah.
Prophecy has nothing to do with Kohanim. So how did it come about that Nevuah, that prophecy, came to be part and parcel of the Kohen Gadol's garments? So first of all, as we're pointing out, it's not. What if it's not there? What if he doesn't have the prophetic power of the Choshen? Is there a problem? Is there a problem? Alberto, is there a problem?
No.
If there's no prophetic part of the Choshen, prophetic part died. It's not
there.
Is there a problem for the Kohen Gadol to wear the garment?
No! He has to wear them.
He has to wear them anyway, because there are two roles. One of them is prophecy, and one of them is the garment of the priest. So what do you see from here? That it's not part of the priesthood. It didn't ever need to be there. It's not part of something else. So where did it come from? Why does he even have it?
Because the merit of Aaron.
For what did he? What was he not jealous of? What was he happy for? The gift. What was he happy for exactly? The prophecy of his brother. The success in terms of prophecy. So what did God give him? Mida, keneged mida, exactly measure for measure, prophecy. A prophecy that's stronger in certain ways than regular prophecy. You can ask it, you can answer it. And whatever it says comes true. That was what Aaron merited for his being happy in his heart for somebody else. Somebody else's prophecy. So, okay, three times? You're right. I can't tell you three times exactly, but I can explain to you the stress. Number one, there's a Choshen Alibo. Number two, there's a Choshen that's prophetic Alibo. So those two you could explain. Okay, let's try and explain why I need three times. I have a suggestion for you. Ready?
Right.
Number one, the Choshen. Number one is the Halacha in where the Choshen goes. That's Choshen. Number two is the last one. That has to be on his heart because that's also a Choshen, but that's a Choshen with in Urim Batumim. So the two different roles of a Choshen, they both have to be located where? On his heart. But what's this Urim Batumim on his heart? That's to teach you the message of Chazal. That he merited the Urim Batumim on his heart because of his heart. Each one is telling you the location of the Choshen and the two roles of the Choshen. But the middle one, perhaps, that's the idea. It's teaching you this message of Chazal, that he merited it because of the Simcha in his heart. Because he rejoiced for someone else's prophecy. Maybe that's exactly what he's saying too. You hear that?
Yeah.
Okay.
So why didn't God tell us that?
That's part of the Torah. You have to learn carefully. And when you see these three parts, then you have to stop. It's a red flag. It's telling you something's going on here. You've got to look at Chazal, you've got to look at the Mefarshim, and you got to see what they're bringing out of here. What's the significance of all this repetition? The Nasa, Lave, learning the tuning, everything told about it, what is it? And you look around, and suddenly there's this beautiful picture that's above, right before your eyes, and suddenly you see it, of prophet and priest, now we understand the Choshen HaMishpat.